Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Q1 Results 2014 conference call on the 8th of May, 2014. Throughout today's presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there'll be an opportunity to ask questions. I'd now like to hand the conference over to Johan Olofsson. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Hello, everybody. Welcome to our conference call on 4SC's financial results in the first quarter of 2014. My name is Jochen Olofsson. I'm the IR manager at 4SC. With me here today is Enno Spillner, CEO and CFO of 4SC. Also for the Q&A session later on, with us here is Daniel Fitt, CSO and CTO of 4SC. Before we start, I would like to briefly remind you that during this call, we may make projections or estimates relating to plans and objectives relating to our future operations, products or services, future financial results, or assumptions underlying or relating to any such statements, each of which constitutes a forward-looking statement subject to risks and uncertainties, many of which are beyond our control. Actual results could differ materially depending on a number of factors. With this, I turn the call over to Enno.
Yeah. Thank you, Jochen, and welcome everyone to our Q1 results conference call. It's a pleasure having you on the call once again today. Our plan is to provide you with a brief update on our operational and financial highlights for the reporting period, and we will then open the line for your questions, obviously. First of all, I'd like to take you through our operational highlights for the first quarter, followed then by the financials and an outlook on 2014 and beyond. As you may recall, during the quarter, we signed an agreement with Yorkville for up to 15 million euros in convertible bonds. These proceeds of each tranche will contribute to the short and medium-term financing of 4SC and the financing of the operational preparations for the planned phase II development of resminostat in the indication of liver cancer. In March, we pulled down the first tranche of this offering for nominally 500,000 euros in proceeds, deducting a discount of 5% for Yorkville. We are also happy to announce that during the quarter, 4SC Discovery, 4SC's research subsidiary, received a grant of 1.3 million euros for the cooperation with Heidelberg University Hospital. The funds will be used for research and development of a new drug targeting resistant strains of malaria. On successful completion of the two-year collaboration, 4SC plans to out-license the compound to an industry or development partner as the indication is outside of our therapeutic areas. As we announced previously, we have made some changes to the management board at 4SC, including some senior appointments that will strengthen our clinical development expertise. Our Chief Development Officer, Dr. Bernd Hensch, left the company when his contract expired on 31st of March of this year, and his responsibilities have been transferred to our Chief Scientific Officer, Dr. Daniel Fitt. We will maintain a positive relationship with Bernd as a consultant to 4SC and thus securing his valuable expertise about our development compounds and his know-how to 4SC. To support the strategic and the operational management of clinical development programs from February 2014, 4SC contracted Dr. Samson Fung, an oncologist and experienced pharmaceuticals manager with proven expertise in the clinical development of cancer drugs, as an external manager. Samson will support the company, in particular, in advancing the resminostat development program to a commercial asset. During the quarter, we made further progress with resminostat research and development activities, which I will describe to you in the following. Following consultations with the regulatory agencies and clinical key opinion leaders, we are currently preparing the next important step in developing resminostat along the path to market approval in liver cancer or HCC. As a next step, we will be embarking on a phase II first-line study to investigate the efficacy of resminostat in combination therapy with the cancer drug sorafenib compared to the current standard treatment, which is sorafenib as a monotherapy. This study will be the first fully randomized, controlled, double-blinded trial of resminostat. In this trial, we will also further investigate the biomarker ZFP64, or zinc finger protein, that we identified last year and which could become very important in even better stratifying the relevant target population for resminostat. Our objective with this phase 2 program is to verify the encouraging findings of our successfully completed phase 2A SHELTER study while laying the foundations for an international pharmaceutical partnership and for a subsequent phase 3 registration trial. Preparations for our study are advancing fast. My colleague Daniel Fitz and his team, or Daniel in particular, can provide more insight on the planned program in the Q&A session later on, if requested by you during this call. As reported 2 days ago, we are also very happy that data from a recently completed phase 1 trial conducted by our partner Yakult Honsha in Japan has confirmed resminostat's positive safety profile in Japanese cancer patients. This has also triggered a milestone payment from Yakult to 4C in May 2014. We are highly excited about Yakult's enthusiasm in the development of resminostat in Japan, and as you will know, Yakult is currently also testing resminostat in two randomized controlled phase 1/2 trials in HCC and in non-small cell lung cancer in Japan. Coming to the financials, before I run through the financial highlights, I would like to remind you that the figures we will present here refer to group consolidated figures for the period, and we have rounded for simplicity. Full details of the group's figures, including the individual reporting segments, development, as well as discovery and collaborative business, can be found in the investors section on our website. On the cost side, we are continuing to benefit from the strategic refocusing and organizational restructuring that the company completed in 2013. Taking into account other planned inflows and collaborative business revenue earned by our subsidiary 4C Discovery GmbH, we are on track to further improve the group's operating result from last year's figures. Whilst we have a number of positive first quarter development to report, we remain very much aware of the major challenge we have yet to face. These challenges include in particular the securing of mid- and long-term company financing and, of course, the financing of the further clinical development of our main value driver, resminostat, as just described to you. We are redoubling our efforts here, and I am confident that our dedicated team will achieve a successful outcome. Over the first quarter of 2014, our consolidated revenue went up 82% to €1.44 million compared to €0.8 million in Q1 of 2013. This positive development was mainly attributable to the cooperation agreements of 4C Discovery with BioNTech and Leo Pharma that were both started in early 2013. I'm also very happy to report that the discovery and collaborative business segment posted its first operating profit of €0.1 million on a quarterly basis in Q1 of this year. Operating expenses in total stood at €3.56 million in the first quarter of 2014 and thus were on par with the prior year figure, which was at €3.53 million. As a result, our operating loss improved by 22% to €2.12 million from €2.74 million in Q1 of 2013. As at March of this year, we had cash, cash equivalents, and short-term investments totaling €2.77 million compared with €4.9 million at the close of 2013. As mentioned earlier, in conjunction with our agreement with Yorkville to underwrite convertible notes in the amount of up to €15 million plus cash and cash equivalents and at the end of the first quarter and current revenue and expense planning, we forecast a cash reach until the end of the first quarter of 2015. With this, I'm coming to the outlook on 2014 and beyond. 4C will continue to pursue its focused research and development strategy and primarily concentrate on the further development of Resminostat in HCC. We are currently working with the CRO to finalize the study protocol of the planned phase 2 trial, which we will then discuss with the regulatory authorities such as EMA and FDA. Assuming we obtain both financing and regulatory green light, we expect to be able to officially submit an application to the health agencies to commence the trial before the end of this year and to start the enrolling of patient in early in 2015. We also expect to publish data from our other compounds before the end of this year, and we have completed patient recruitment for the phase 1 TOPAZ trial, which is a dose escalation study with our epigenetic compound 4C202 in patients with hematological tumors, and we are currently in the process of evaluating and assembling these data. We expect to be able to publish these data still in Q2 of this year, possibly already at ASCO, where we will have a poster on 4C202. As for our third cancer compound, 4C205, we are currently recruiting and treating the last patients in the ongoing phase 1 Aegis trial, and we expect to be able to report data in Q3 for this year if everything works according to plan. We will also have a poster at ASCO regarding this particular study. 4C Discovery GmbH, which just achieved its first profitable quarter, will continue to work intensively on our existing collaborations to make them even more fruitful and seek further early-stage partnering and service collaborations with pharma and other biotech companies. As mentioned earlier, we are diligently working to complete additional company financing and look forward to reporting our progress on these efforts in the time ahead. As discussed in previous calls, our next study for Resminostat will only commence once a sustainable funding is in place. We continue to believe that 4C is well positioned for the remainder of 2014 and beyond, and we are excited about the prospectus for Resminostat and look forward to updating you on our progress in advancing these novel products further through the clinic and ultimately to patients. Just as a reminder to you, tomorrow we will hold our AGM here in Munich, and we are very happy to see some of you attending this event in person. With that, I would like to thank you for your interest, and we remain now open to your questions. Operator, please take over.
Good. Thanks for taking the questions. First question, can you provide a bit more details, if possible, in terms of the sort of size and scope of the planned phase 2 study in HCC with Resminostat?
Yes, happy to do so. So just for everyone, the question was the size and basically some additional information about the phase 2 trial of Resminostat, if I got your question correctly. And Daniel, maybe you want to refer to that.
Yeah. Okay, thank you for the question. So the current plan is to include approximately 150 patients in two arms. And in one arm, we will have sorafenib, and in the other arm, we plan to have sorafenib and Resminostat. And the study is planned to be blinded with placebo control.
Okay. And in terms of the maybe some comment on the reception from either investors or potential partners to the sort of obviously the revised plan for phase two versus what you previously obviously communicated and talked presumably to potential partners about the phase 2-3, whether what the reception has been to that.
Yeah, I think that's a very important question, obviously, and what we did during the past weeks and earlier this year is that we fine-tuned the first line setting a little bit, as we previously had communicated, a pivotal trial design consisting of a phase 2B / phase 3. However, and the two important benefits that we have from the trial, from the readjusted trial design, is that we will have, after the phase 2 part, we will have a much better and much more detailed readout of the data, which then will provide better information to the pharma industry for potential partnering. Besides that, the second important part is that we could significantly reduce the cost of such a phase 2 part of the trial by roughly 10 million down to currently estimated 15 million euros for such a direct, or the direct cost of such a phase 2 trial. So also that is a benefit. And also the topic of the biomarker can be addressed a little bit more stringent in that trial design. So there's a lot of pluses on this adjusted trial design. And coming back to your original question, the feedback that we received from the investors was, at least to our knowledge, quite positive. And one reason why we adjusted it that way was that we discussed prior to adjusting it also with some KOLs, with some authorities like the FDA, for instance, and obviously with some pharma players. So also from that side, this new adjusted design should be well welcomed. Daniel, maybe you have to add to that.
Yeah, thank you, Enno. I think you pretty said most important things. I think there are two main issues which we really solve with this new design. First of all, we can make sure that we maintain the integrity of the study, which is very important, in particular at the formerly planned interim analysis. And now we can really have a deep look into the data which is coming out of the phase 2, and we can analyze our biomarker set of P64 and then really have the best strategy for the upcoming pivotal trial afterwards. I think that's really a risk-balanced development.
Okay, just quickly back on the trial design. In terms of endpoints of the study, presumably it's a PFS, and also you will obviously be monitoring ZFP64, but it won't be actually be a selection criteria for the study.
Okay, so let me first comment on the endpoint. So the goal is here really to get a couple of information from the study back. First of all, of course, we will have finally have a look on this several therapeutic parameters like overall survival, but also in the first instance TPP as an additional endpoint. But of course, the biomarker is maybe the most important information we will get, because that will have the highest impact on the further phase 3 trial, and this is something we really want to learn in depth.
Okay, thank you. If I can turn to the Japanese studies ongoing in HCC and non-small cell lung cancer, what's the expectation in terms of the reporting of those trial results?
Okay, that's a good question. Of course, we cannot answer everything for Yakult. They are performing the trial. What we think is that the liver cancer trial may deliver data end of 2015 or in 2016. We have to a little bit rely on Yakult's internal expectations and management. And I think the non-small cell lung cancer trial is in the same ballpark, maybe a little bit behind that.
Okay, and last one, if I may, just on the R&D expense in Q1, how that might change for the rest of 2014. It seemed a little bit on the high side, according to my estimates, but whether it's likely to come down a bit. Obviously, it depends on further developments. This is excluding, obviously, the phase two getting underway.
Yeah, I mean the forecast that I so far presented here, also during the call, is obviously referring to some numbers and to a base case planning, so to say, which does not yet include a fully blown phase two in Rosminostat for HCC, since, as I said, we have to secure the financing for this first. Having said that, currently our R&D spendings in the mother company in the 4C AG do refer to preparing our preparational work for the for this phase two HCC trial. Furthermore, we do have to do the wrap up of the CRC phase one trial, which we conducted last year. So there's still some work ongoing, and obviously we have 4C202 currently still being in the wrap up of a phase or in the last steps of a phase one. And as I also mentioned, the 4C205 in the conclusion of the phase one. So that's the current R&D spending. As you all know, once officially you present data to the public, this is still not the end of the internal work of such a trial. So there is some more R&D spendings on these topics to come in 2014. However, if we will the further spending then depends on the kickoff of the phase two. If that comes in, we will have a significant increase in our R&D spendings. The details, I think, would be early to discuss this at this point in time, because this also depends on interaction with the CROs and also securing the study medication and so on. But it will be then significantly higher to what we see right now.
Sure. Okay. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
We have a question for Marietta Mariana from Equinet. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, and thanks for taking my question. I just have a couple follow-up questions on Rosminostat first. The first question is the biomarker. Is it now purely going to be ZFP, or are you potentially looking at any other biomarkers as well? Because I remember there were a few other biomarkers that were identified in earlier trials and analyses, but that didn't seem to give as strong a signal, so I just wanted to clarify that. And also whether you do have a good feel for the cutoff levels to use for ZFP, or how will you actually integrate it into the study protocol? Will you pre-stratify patients? Is it going to be very binary, you know, people above and below the threshold? The second question relating to Rosminostat is just in very, very general terms in terms of your partnering strategy. Are you more leaning towards a purely financial partner at this stage, or are you in discussions with potential strategic partners to fund the phase two? And would you even potentially consider raising equity? And then I have an unrelated question relating to 4SC discovery. I noticed that it was profitable for the first time in Q1. So how should we think about that going forward? Do you think that you can maintain or grow the subsidiary's profitability over time? Or would you reinvest any material profits into your internal research? Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Marietta. Quite a few important questions, and I think looking at Danny, he's very eager to answer your biomarker question, so I'll hand that over to him.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think thank you very much for this question. I think it's very important. We are very happy to have ZFP64 identified as a potential biomarker, and we now have the advantage of the design we are now aiming for is that we can analyze retrospectively the ZFP64 in this randomized setting to really get the right information out of that. So the focus will be on ZFP64, but we are in parallel also still looking on some other biomarkers. One of these we cannot yet disclose because of IP issues. We will disclose that once we file for patent for the second thing which we are looking for. But again, I think the focus is clearly ZFP65. It has the highest chance to be successful here. And what was clarified is that we can analyze the phase two retrospectively and then define the right cutoff values and to use that then in a prospective way for the phase three trial. Which is pretty straightforward, I think.
Okay, thank you very much.
Anyway, I think the second question...
Does that answer your biomarker questions, Marietta?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Okay, then the partnering strategy is where when you ask also in context of financing. And I mean, what we clearly say is, and this is also why we adjusted the trial design, that we think there's a few more questions that we should answer to the pharma industry before going into global deal negotiations. So this is what we want to achieve. So we have to finance this trial mainly by other ways. And here, basically, we have an open approach from our end, which may well mean that we could return to the capital markets for parts of it or for the full scope. But there's also currently quite a few players out there, serious players out there, that are looking for attractive project financing. And last but not least, we are obviously looking for partners from the financing and the strategic committee community who are willing to share that risk. So it can be a mix of different approaches here contributing to the overall financing, but it also could be one solution, like, for instance, capital markets. So we keep that open at this point in time. Referring to your last question, which was stating the 4C discovery and how the status is with regard to profitability, to be quite open here, our major topic right now is not so much saying the company is profitable or not. It's more important for us to know that it is cash flow positive, so that it really can feed itself out of its financing activities or revenue activities. And as you know, IFRS can be sometimes a little bit tricky in booking this into immediate revenue. And of course, we will reinvest some minor parts of that money to really having a stable team here and good quality on board. But the major effort is really, as in the past, also to contribute to the overall financing of the company.
Yeah, maybe to add on this, this is Daniel speaking. We have a couple of ongoing early projects within 4C Discovery, new product innovations where we think that this will feed our growth within Discovery for the next months to come. So a couple of things ongoing which maybe end up in partnering and in collaborations, so that we think there's an intrinsic growth within the Discovery unit by itself. We want to maintain really that upswing.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by the 1 on your telephone. And if you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by the 2. We have a question from Mark Robinson Co. from Kempin & Co. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. One question from my side on the financing in the short term. With Yorkville, it says, I think you reported you have an average monthly cash outflow of 0.7 million, expecting the burn rate to go to 0.4 over the course of the year. Would it be reasonable to assume that one of these tranches will be issued on more or less, say, a monthly basis?
Thank you, Mark, and welcome on the call. To refer to Yorkville, I think we struck this financing early this year because we wanted to have some additional cushion on our basic financing requirements. But to be very clear on this, we do not intend this tool on a monthly basis. First of all, that's most likely not realistic for with regard to our share liquidity. And we are all very much aware that we should not put pressure from that side on our shares. So in that context, we are very well aligned with Yorkville, and they are very close to us in this context, making sure that they only put in slow and small dosages of shares here to the market. So we will use this tool, but we will not use it at this point in time extensively. So the sequence will be much less than on a monthly basis.
Okay, great, thanks. And then perhaps maybe I missed it if it was discussed earlier, just as the call was being the technical issues being addressed. But in terms of seeking some financing for the resminostat trial, I know these things are always confidential and subject to change, but any color you can give on how discussions have advanced or how close we may be to a resolution on that front?
Yeah, I mean, Actually, you're right. I cannot say too much on this at this stage. What I can say is that we are following up different pathways on solving this topic and then securing the financing. And it also could be a mix of different activities. However, we, for our internal purposes, but also for the capital markets, we are very much aware that this question should be answered rather soon. And this is something we are working on. And I'm sorry that I cannot give much more guidance on this at this point in time.
No, that's fine. Understood. Thanks.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. We appear to have no further questions.
Yes, thank you, operator. Then I'll close the call today with some closing remarks. And thank you, all of you, for attending this Q1 report. And sorry once again for this inconvenience with our little break here, which was not on a voluntary basis. We are, together with you, looking forward to the further development of Fresminostat, which is the main objective for 2014, obviously, but also stay tuned to the upcoming results for 4C22, which we still should see this quarter, and for 205 following in the Q3, hopefully, and further activities on our discovery level as well. So in that context, please have eyes and ears open for further news flow from 4C. And the latest, we hope to see you or hear you back at the Q2 call in August. So then, thank you very much from the 4C team and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude the Q1 Results 2014 conference call. Thank you for participating, and you may now disconnect.
Was bitteschön war das denn?